it would have been way easier for me doing this interview, for example, when I was at Disney or at Getty with a name attached, and then you just talk about it, right? Saying, right now I'm in this stage and my life is a mess. I find this much more tricky.
Welcome to the Career Relaunch Podcast, featuring personal stories of career change to inspire you to reinvent your own career. My name is Joseph Liu, and I'm here to help you gain the clarity, confidence, and courage to make brave changes in your career that allow you to do work you find more meaningful and enjoyable. In each episode, I feature people who have boldly stepped off the beaten path to relaunch their careers. We talk through the setbacks and successes of their personal journeys to help you understand what it takes to relaunch your own career. Today, my guest will share her story of going from a human resources professional in Los Angeles to someone trying to figure out the next steps in her career back home in Barcelona. We'll discuss what it's like to return to your home country after working abroad and the discomfort associated with career transitions. Afterwards, during today's Mental Fuel, I'll discuss why having some downtime in your career can feel so unsettling. When was the last time you took some time off from work? I'm not just talking about a short vacation or annual holiday. When was the last time you really just stopped for a moment to look up from your work and to consider where all your daily projects, work pressures, meetings, commutes, and long hours in front of your laptop are taking you professionally? Which professional destination are you trying to reach? I don't know about you, but I often feel this pressure to keep plowing ahead in my career, to not take detours and to not slow down. Part of this is driven from a desire to achieve and excel. Part of it's driven by the need to make ends meet, but another part of it's driven by external, societal, and professional expectations around having an uninterrupted, steadily progressing series of increasingly impressive roles on your CV without any questionable gaps you have to explain later. But sometimes, these momentary pauses and transitions between jobs are the only real opportunity you have to slow down, recalibrate, and reconsider where you want to take your career next. Today, I'm speaking with Gisela Prunes Garcia, a human resources professional whose corporate career started in Barcelona at the Sara Lee Corporation, where she worked for a few years until she decided to move to California in 2012. In the following years, she explored different industries while building up her new life and career in the US, adapting to a new culture in a second language with no network in place at the start. She eventually took on roles at the Walt Disney Company in HR production and Getty Images, managing creative and editorial client groups. Throughout her career working with highly creative people, Gisela has specialized in finding opportunities that drive solutions to improve employee experience and business results with her unique perspectives and ability to analyze problems to find holistic creative solutions. I'm really pleased she's decided to come onto the show to share her story today. Now, Gisela and I first crossed paths on Instagram, where I spotted a video she posted shortly after she walked away from her job at Getty to begin the career transition she's now in. After we exchanged a few messages about the uncomfortable nature of walking away from an established job to pursue some of your own interests, I thought her honest transition story would be useful to hear because it reflects the somewhat unsettling feeling we all get when we're stepping away from the known into the unknown, and the career relaunch stories that are almost never as simple as they may seem on the surface. You can get all the show notes from today's conversation at careerrelaunch.net/101. Gisela spoke with me from Barcelona, Spain. Okay, hello, Gisela. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Career Relaunch Podcast. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
So we got a lot to talk about between your time in Spain and moving to the US, then eventually moving back to Spain. I was hoping we could start by just getting a glimpse into what you're focused on right now in your career and your life. Could you just give us a quick snapshot?
Right now, I think that I'm in one of the most convoluted times of my journey, one of those that's very gray and you are kind of lost in the mist and kind of stuck.
That's exactly where I am. Very common for people to be in that. That's why we're talking. What's been confusing about this particular time?
I'm going through a lot of change in a lot of areas of life. And when more than one changes, it elevates the stress. And so being able to manage that at this moment, it's becoming a challenge and terrifying as well.
And just to set the scene here, could you just tell us, where are you right now? And what are you up to right now, both personally and professionally?
I'm in Spain. That's where I'm from. I'm currently in Barcelona. I recently came here, but I was in the US for the past almost 13 years, but I'm originally from Spain. So I just returned. I don't know for how long, but I decided to come back here and spend more time with family recently, the last 2-3 months.
And can you describe the work that you are at least thinking about doing moving forward? I know you're in the transition right now and still figuring it out.
I've been working in corporate all my career since I was still even in college. I was already trying to figure out what I wanted to do and doing internships in companies. So since very, very early stage in my career, I've been in corporations, mostly big corporations. And right now I'm taking a pause on everything, or like career-wise, to process this transition or the moment in life that I find myself in. And I'm assessing and exploring too if I would like to become an entrepreneur and how would I do with that.
Let's kind of go back in time a little bit. So you mentioned you're back in Spain now and you had moved to the US at the beginning of your career. And I want to talk about what triggered you to move countries, but can we just start from the very beginning of your career? I know you've spent a lot of your career in the corporate world focused on HR. What got you interested in working in human resources at the very beginning?
I was very compelled by the human resources work, but because in education, really, I found that this is a field that it's not very explored. No matter what you studied, I felt like I really wanted to get a sense of it working and experiencing myself what it is to work in an HR department. So very young, I got an internship. At the time was Sara Lee. And I was based in Barcelona. Since the moment that I got into that company, and previously I already tried different fields, but the experience at this company, I loved it. I loved the combination of skill sets, working in a business, but also everything that had to do with talent management. And I really loved it. And I thought, this could be my career.
So from the start, you're at Sara Lee. Were you thinking that HR was the best fit for you? Were you pretty certain about that at the time? Did it feel right to you at the time?
Yes, indeed. It did. I liked different things. I was also interested in education, but I felt very comfortable in a business setting and in a business environment. And I think that's what made me stay and continue learning about it. And I was doing well. I decided to explore all the different facets and areas of human resources.
Now, eventually, you made a pretty big decision to leave your home country and eventually move to the U.S. Now, I'd love to dive into this a little bit because I know it's a major decision to relocate countries as someone myself who's done it. What triggered you to think about moving away from Spain, and how did you choose the U.S. to be your destination?
I wanted to expand my career and make it be international in my experience and learn about other countries. And I knew that if I wanted to have like a career that's like international, I would have to learn English. And that was my pending signature. I've never been good at learning languages. And I thought after a few years at Sara Lee, I was still like in my early 20s and I felt myself very settled in Spain. And there was something that I was like, I need to explore. I've always been like this dedicated person, studying, working, having 2 jobs while studying. And I was already doing well, but too settled for my taste. So I thought, this is the moment. Let's study English somewhere. And I just opened a map and literally decided, okay, what in the world I could go to learn English, but that's a sunny location. So that was my first indicator of like, it has to be like a sunny place. And then I ended up going to San Diego.
San Diego.
California.
Yes, good choice. How was your transition to the U.S.? What did you do when you first got there, and how did you settle in?
It was tough. At the beginning, I thought it was just going to be a vacation while I was in language school, right? So it's a very different mindset than when you are actually settling to live in a new country. So at the beginning, it was very fun. It was an amazing, one of the best experiences that I ever had while I was in language school. 8 to 10 hours a day, really mastering my English skills or trying, because they were like pretty much non-existent. But then things change when you are already like, let's live here, let's try to start a career here, still with basic level of English, that was probably the toughest experience of my career, especially in human resources, since you need to know a lot of the employment law, the legislation. I would not finish the phone interview screenings. I was not able to because I had a lot of difficulty understanding them. And little by little, when that improved, right, then the recruiters would tell me, you have good experience in Europe, but here in the US, we require pretty like medium to high level of knowledge with employment laws, and especially in California. So learning all of that in a second language was tough.
You would eventually move into the corporate world working in HR. You successfully secured your role. Out of curiosity, how did you overcome these barriers, the hesitation on the side of headhunters or recruiters or hiring managers when they were saying, okay, you got the qualifications, but you don't have the localized experience that we're looking for? How did you overcome that?
I think I cried a lot. And then I went to HR courses that helped me. I bought a lot of books and I did a lot of self-study to the point where my full house was full of papers. Like the walls of my house were like full of papers, even in my bedroom, all over the place. So I could memorize some of the laws or words that for me were difficult to understand. So it was a lot of that through those classes, and then getting an internship, which at the time wasn't paid. So for me was a setback because in Spain, I was much better positioned. But it was very helpful to get that internship so I could practice, right, the like real experience, but then studying aside.
So a combination of internships and also your self-study and skilling up. You were interning at the World Trade Center in San Diego, and then you ended up moving into the recruitment sector for a little bit of time. You would eventually land at Walt Disney Imagineering. How did you land that role? Because there's obviously a large, well-established company. And I'd just be curious how you managed to get your foot in the door with Walt Disney.
Disney was always my first target. Since I was in the US and I started believing that could actually be possible for me to get a job there, I submitted close to 30 applications at Disney on the first years. Those applications never got a call back. But eventually, after I started building my experience and temping, which was a huge entrance for me in the US market. So I could switch from companies very quickly, learn fast, make an impact fast, and every gig was better than the old one, and updating my LinkedIn. And so after all of that, I received a call from a headhunter that found me on LinkedIn for a potential 2-month opportunity. Thanks God that I returned that call because they didn't say it was Disney. So it was like an email that didn't look very appealing, but I always had that sense of curiosity that I thought, let me call to find out what this is. And when they said it was Disney, I couldn't believe it.
And this was a temporary role initially.
Yes.
Okay. What would you go on to do at Walt Disney Imagineering? I know you were there for just over a year and then you'd eventually move on to the animation studios. Could you take us through your trajectory there at Walt Disney?
That first call, it was for a temporary position for a very, very specific project. And it was to assist the human resources department that was leading the construction of the Disneyland Resort in Shanghai. They interviewed me for that project. And after that project ended, then I applied for another role at Imagineering as well in recruiting. And then I got that role. But all of this, it was still like temporary contracts. So I was like, a place at Disney by a third party during the time that I was at Imagineering.
How did you then move from that temporary role into a more full-time role for Walt Disney Animation Studios and then eventually the Walt Disney Studios?
During that time at Disney, I was like, I'm loving this and I'm loving this place. And I was just sinking in all the magic and I couldn't even believe that I was still there after right 1 year or like 2 years when it was only going to be 2 months. So I encouraged myself to, okay, maybe this is possible. Maybe now I can get a full-time job and be hired at Disney. And so at that time, I remember there were like limited possibilities because there were not many positions open, but one of them that I saw an opening at the Walt Disney Animation Studios, and I just regularly applied through their portals, and I got an interview with Disney Animation Studios. And I remember that I don't think that I ever in my life prepared for anything better and more than I prepared for that interview with animation.
What do you remember about that interview?
It was many interviews. It was so many interviews, like one-on-one interviews, but there were also panel interviews with multiple people in the room. And so those, like, more towards final stages made me, like, super nervous. I was, like, out of my mind with nervousness and anxiety.
You would eventually become a recruitment and outreach coordinator there at Walt Disney Animation Studios. Then you became an HR specialist at the Walt Disney Studios. I know this is a while back, but what did you like about your life in the corporate world there in the U.S. at the time?
I was thriving in it. I loved all the challenges. There is always challenges that come working in corporate and a lot of complexities, but I found myself like thriving on it. And I was always so hungry for learning. I always found something that would be fascinating for me and for my own development and for my own learning. And I was very comfortable with the environment, and especially working in a creative setting. That was very inspiring for me, since I do have a personality that is always also involved in like creative endeavors for myself. And so I felt like I connected well also with that environment at that time.
Were you thinking that you were going to just stay at Walt Disney indefinitely? Did it cross your mind to explore other companies, other opportunities? Where were you at in terms of your professional interests at the time, staying versus exploring something else?
Especially the first years that I was at Disney, I was like, would I want to ever go somewhere else? And I could see how easy it is to get comfortable. And it was a very difficult and a struggle to not attach your personal value or identity in such a big brand, in such a big name. And so every time that I changed the position at Disney, it was a struggle. For example, leaving animation, it was like, am I crazy? I love this place. Why would I leave? But in the other side, you have that other voice of like prioritizing growth at a certain moment in your career, and especially on my field, which is very interesting to me personally, seeing different environments and departments and teams. It was that decision of, okay, I'm going to jump, even though I always thought maybe I'll regret jumping, but I'm still going to do it. And it was that constant struggle to check in with yourself and then just do it, because there is always a different learning on the other side.
I was giving a talk a few weeks ago and somebody came up to me after my talk. It was on achieving your career goals, and she works at Google and she's been there for years, I think over a decade. She asked me, is there a problem to stay at a company for a really long time? Like, does that start to look strange from an external standpoint? But I guess what I was thinking when I heard that question was, sometimes I feel like if I've been doing something for too long, just the duration of time starts to make me wonder if I should do something else. And I've always just wondered, is that like an unnecessary pressure that we put on ourselves to constantly be pushing forward to the next challenge? And do you have any thoughts? Again, I'm going back to your time as you started to wrap up your time at Walt Disney, and we'll eventually talk about your most recent role in a moment.
Personal life circumstances also play a huge factor. Maybe the fact that I was in a foreign country without my family over there, maybe that will give me a little bit of more impulse than maybe somebody that makes different decisions based on like their life circumstances or is looking for more stability. I feel like it's many different factors, but I agree that sometimes we just put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And it depends on the discipline as well. Like, there are certain disciplines that once you secure a really good position in a certain industry where maybe those jobs are more limited, maybe it makes sense that the person tends to and wants to stay longer. But maybe for other disciplines that you could benefit from seeing different environments, maybe that also is a point of a decision making for someone to be jumping around, I think.
How did you make your decision to eventually leave Disney and move on to Getty Images then?
To me, leaving Disney, I felt like Frodo dropping the ring in Mordor. It was very difficult to put down my badge of that company. But I really wanted to see a different area within the entertainment and media industry. And I was looking for a very specific type of role that was more strategic. And I was looking about different characteristics. And I thought after almost like 8 years of Orlando and Disney, that was a good point to move forward. And then it took me a while. I interviewed a lot, many companies, like the companies were interviewing me, but I was interviewing more to those companies because I had a lot of clarity in what I wanted to find. So it took a while, but eventually Getty came along and with a very interesting role and had most of what I was looking for on my next role. And I accepted the job offer with them.
Things are going pretty well for you in the United States. So you moved to San Diego, you land a couple internships, you're working at one of the most well-known companies in the world, Walt Disney. You eventually move on to Getty Images, you land the role that it sounds like was the perfect fit for you regarding your next move. When did you start thinking about moving back to Spain?
The last few years since the pandemic became very hard to manage when you were like so many miles from your family, and there was a change of paradigm and a change of a lot of things. And I feel like since the pandemic, I had in the back of my mind the possibility of spending some time in Europe, even if it was not necessarily Spain. But because I left it so young and I have grown so much, I always had that thing of like, should I explore and should I take some time to reconnect with Europe and even discover places that I didn't have the chance to when I was so young?
Was there a moment when you made your decision, okay, I'm going to leave Getty behind, I'm going to leave Los Angeles behind, which is where you were based at the time, and I'm going to move back to Barcelona? Do you remember the moment when you decided that?
Yes, I think it was last year, actually. Los Angeles, I always felt so compelled by the city, so I would have those thoughts of going back on my mind, but I would not act on it because I was doing well there. I had my job that I was happy with at Getty Images, and I will always remember it was a award season in Los Angeles, and it was between the months of February and March that I actually was with the team that I was supporting, creative and editorial, at the Oscars. Later, a week after, I was all of a sudden in the hospital, in one of those life moments where your health all of a sudden goes downhill and then you need to reassess things and then you need to start listening. The body and puts you in a different direction all of a sudden. So that was like a breaking point for me to reassess, okay, what do I do now that I have a new life situation?
And if you don't mind me asking, Gisela, what was happening with your health at the time? What was the reason for having to go to the hospital?
I've been struggling for the 2-3 years with a lot of symptoms that nobody was able to pin down where those were coming from, even though they affected me a lot, but I was able to manage. All of a sudden, during that time, I started experiencing stronger and stronger symptoms until one day to the other, I got super sick. And then finally, they were able to diagnose that I was celiac, but I have been asymptomatic for a long, long time, which as far as I know is not as common. Usually, celiac shows some sort of symptoms, even if they are not digestive. But in my case, my body didn't show absolutely nothing until I was like very severely ill, where my digestive system was not properly functioning, and then you even get like dysnutrition. So it was something at that time very severe for what it could look like on the surface, like a condition that's not familiar, right, with that condition that is like, oh, you stop eating gluten and that's it. But sometimes if it's caused more damage, it's no longer as simple. So I had to really put a pause on everything at that point.
I don't know a tremendous amount about celiac. I know some people in my life who've had it, and it involves gluten intolerance, but I also understand that if you don't discover it until later in life, that it can actually wreak some havoc and damage on your system. I guess it's good that you caught it when you did. I guess as you're laying there in the hospital, what was running through your head when you thought about your career looking forward in the United States versus perhaps exploring returning to Europe?
First of all, there was a phase of depression and anger. Like I even told my doctor first before I could even think of anything else. It's like, you are wrong. I'm not celiac. Like I'm from Spain and I'm made of bread. What are you talking about? I was the first like upset with like everything, right? Especially on a moment where you are like in your career and doing well. And it's like, oh, no.
And then how did you come to terms with it? I guess I'm thinking about the stages of grieving. And I guess the first couple are, first of all, denial and then some anger that you're talking about. How did you come to accept that maybe you did need to make a change?
It took me a few months. I'm sure many people will relate to this, but we tend to take everything on ourselves. Like, I can't do it. I've been doing it for like 12 years here and alone, and I'm alive, and I've gone through so many things. So this is just one more. And this is not gonna stop me or affect me in any way, right? So I try to act normal and overcome it on my own, like I always done. But this time it was not working. This time, the more that I was trying to push, the body was slapping me back. I'm fine one day and then I'm more sick the other, like that for months, until I had a discussion with my supervisor and I was very transparent on what I was going through, and I received great support as well. I finally assessed the situation and decided, okay, maybe this is the time to take a pause, find the keys of what works for me until I recover, until I get better, and I find my new habits. And then I rather do it from Spain, spend more time with my family, reconnect with Europe, and take this time as a creative exploration with myself.
What's it been like for you the past couple months now that you have been back in Spain?
It's been scary. I never experienced this before. There is a constant terror that you are all of a sudden, first of all, not attached to any big brands, right? So here it goes again. Now I'm solo. My name is not attached to those brands anymore. Like, you don't have a paycheck coming through. The list could go on and on of terrifying things that are happening right now. But I think that the worst is not having a clear direction of what you are going to hit next, which is kind of the first time that happens to me, because I'm very analytical and I always have a plan A, B, and C. And so right now I can have an idea of the things that I want to explore, but there is not that specific goal that I need to hit. And so that creates a lot of anxiety, and it's just terrifying of being in a situation where you're trying to figure out and explore and get to enjoy this time without the anxiety eating you over.
This is, I guess, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk with you, Gisella, because I think so often on these kinds of shows, we talk with people during the before and the after of their career change journey. And so you get a glimpse of what they were doing before, and then you kind of get the glimpse into how everything has now worked out really nicely in the end. And what I think is very interesting is catching people when they're in the middle of it and they haven't figured it out, because that's where a lot of listeners are when they listen to this show. And you're right, you're talking about some things that I know I've struggled with myself, where it's the balance between just enjoying the downtime versus feeling pressured to uncover and identify exactly what you want to do next. I guess I'd be really interested to hear, how about the readjustment going back to Spain and being back in your home country? As you know, I'm from the United States. I live in the UK now. I've always wondered what it would be like if I were to then move back to the US after all this time of being away. Can you give a glimpse into what that adjustment has been like for you? And then we'll talk about some of your professional explorations in a moment.
I don't know if I would be able to answer this question yet, because it's been so recently for me. While I'm trying to recover a bit of my health, I've been so swimming between madness of logistics and administrative things that I need to do, and starting a life over, it involves so much that I haven't grasp yet. It's like I have not really landed, is the way I feel it. All of a sudden I found myself like putting like things on my agenda, on my calendar, of things that I need to do, and functioning the same way that I used to. And so I think that training my brain is what I'm mostly focusing on as my only responsibility, to be able to really make an impact for myself during this time. But being here, it feels very strange. It feels like it's a different person that came here, and I don't even have a sense of belonging like I used to. which at first you get sad about it, but at the same time, I think that it's beautiful because you have grown and now you are more connected to different cultures and places. But I agree, it's not often spoken and there is so much that goes into it.
I know what you mean about feeling a bit out of place, even though it's your home country.
Yeah.
But when you've been away, you change a little bit and you see another way of living and another way of being. And then going back, it can just feel a little bit surreal. I always have these weird out-of-body experiences when I go back to the United States where I feel like I'm this different person back in this environment that used to be very familiar to me. And now it feels very foreign.
Yeah, it feels like that. But I'm also noticing something interesting. And I realize I catch my brain always thinking, oh, I live here or I live there, right? It's like you have to pick sides. I'm here now and this is where I live. But then you start realizing it's like, no, I'm still from LA. LA is also like a home. It's just that my base right now, it's here, but LA will be my second base. And so we try to compartmentalize everything and also telling my brain and training my brain new things and new concepts of my new identity and my new lifestyle. I feel like this is helping me a little bit as well.
The other thing you mentioned was this loss of an association with a big brand. And I've been there myself, where you're working for a well-established company, whether it's Getty or Disney. How's that been for you? I know you alluded to it earlier, but how do you reconcile now not being attached to those brands? And yet it's still a big part of your professional history.
Realistically and full transparency and honestly, it would have been way easier for me and more comfortable doing this interview, for example, when I was at Disney or at Getty with a name attached, and then you just talk about it and getting out to the world and saying, this is me. And yes, this is my experience, but right now I'm in this stage and my life is a mess. I find this much more tricky.
I've been there before myself. I feel very naked. Like, I feel like I've got nothing to say about myself just because I'm not currently working for a well-known organization. I feel very exposed. It's a strange feeling. I know you're still figuring this out, but are you thinking that you want to work independently or that you want to return to the corporate world? Or is that still a question that you're wrestling with right now?
I'm still trying to figure this out and I'm allowing myself some space to do that. I enjoyed working in the corporate world mostly, and I would definitely return once I recover and I feel it's the right time. But I want to take the chance and advantage of this situation where I have schedule restrictions because I'm prioritizing right now myself and explore what would be like being an entrepreneur and if I could work solo and bringing my expertise to the world in a different way and see if this is something that I would like to do. And luckily here in Barcelona, and this just happened recently, but I applied to one of those programs to help develop entrepreneurs. And I submitted a project and it got selected. And so right now I'm going through this program for entrepreneurs to develop a project. And I'm trying to see if this is something I would even like and explore that creative space for that purpose.
There's a lot of upside to having this transition where you've got some space and some headspace to think about what exactly you want to do, which is the huge benefit of a transition. Before I talk about and finish up with some of the lessons you've learned along the way, I would be curious to hear if you could pinpoint or put your finger on what's the most difficult part of being in between jobs when you don't exactly know what you want to do next.
Controlling your thoughts. Or at least being aware of the thoughts that hit because they are driven by our fears and getting awareness of that and turn those thoughts around. For me, it's the signature that honestly I'm still failing. If I'm starting a podcast, for example, I won't talk about my podcast because I'm afraid for others to listen to me. Now I'm in this entrepreneurial program and you have to start doing a market analysis. And I'm like, yes, but I'm terrified of going to speak to people because then seems like things are materializing, right? And putting things to the world. It's just there is a lot of mental load that we carry that to me, this is much more difficult than developing a business plan or developing anything else. It's just switching the thoughts that we have because of our beliefs and because of society that has done a lot of damage to all of us.
I have a lot of internal chatter, I would say, compared to the average person. Like, I lay awake at night and I think about stuff, or I think about, could I be doing things differently, or should I have approached something differently? Should I take on this new project or not? And you're right. I think a lot of it is just controlling those internal voices and quieting them a little bit, because it can get really noisy up there. The last thing I wanted to talk with you about before we wrap up with what you are thinking about pursuing right now. I was speaking at an event last night and someone came up to me afterwards and they were asking me about where I see well-being and health fitting into my professional priorities, which I thought was an interesting question. And I was just wondering, how do you think about that? Like, how do you think about where well-being and health and your own physical fitness, how does that fit into your overall priorities right now?
That's something that's so critical to keep in mind, one's health. And unfortunately, we don't always put that on our priority list, but to me, right, this is number one. So anything that I do needs to work around that first priority, not the other way around of me trying to adjust to X or Y and able to achieve Z. It's like, no, everything now needs to, at least for a few months, needs to support my health physically and my mental health, like both. And it's not easy. And sad to say, but sometimes this can even be a privilege in some way, depending on one's personal circumstances. So I'm very appreciative too of possibility to be able to do this, even if it's just a few months.
Is there something that you wished you had discovered earlier on in your career that you have now discovered, having gone through this transition and being in the middle of this transition?
I got to experience firsthand that anything is possible. And sometimes even if we have a plan, if we are open and not very close-minded to a specific plan, sometimes we can even have surprises and life can take us into something beyond even our expectations. And to me, staying curious, always alert, we can spot opportunities that if we are not open or with that mindset, we could miss very easily. And I've seen that over and over with myself, but also in my surroundings.
Is there something in particular that you've learned about yourself as you have transitioned back home to Barcelona that you feel is important to share?
I traded a lot of comfort for learning. So I have a full bag of learnings that I still feel like some of them, honestly, I have not even finished processing yet, because I've been on the go and also in a survival mode for like a very long time to craft my career and my journey. And I feel like right now it's a good moment to integrate of those learnings. But I think that one of them is that in my case, I experienced and I've seen, right, that we are like stronger than we believe we are. And that really goes a long way. And determination and persistency, all of these are cliches, but it's like these are formulas that they do work in most cases. And then there is this conversation of how much you need to push into something, because sometimes it's also a very good skill to have, knowing until when we can push.
Any advice you would give to your younger self now that you're back in Barcelona, figuring out the next stage of your career?
Putting more emphasis on my mental health in terms of managing anxiety, learning about what anxiety is and how it plays a role within each of us, as well as fear. Identify as early as I could my fears. I wish I would have done that sooner. And in general, it's something that we always forget as well, is understand our emotions and really work on all that part that at the end of the day encompasses mental health.
I want to wrap up with what you're doing right now, Gisela. Could you just tell me a little bit more about Creative Career Thinking, which is the personal brand that you're thinking about expanding and perhaps writing about a little bit more? I know it's still in its early days.
Creative Career Thinking is a brand that I started many years ago just to kind of try to separate the identity that we talk about, right, of our boys and work in corporate, and then the engagements or boys, like, or any activities that you do outside the corporate world. So I always enjoy giving talks and speaking in classes or conferences about career development. So I've been doing sporadic activities on the last few years, and it's still currently ongoing, something that I have a lot of fun with. And currently I'm finishing a book that's been a passion project for me about networking that speaks to the creative audience. So this has been something that I've been doing aside my jobs. And now that I have this time, I'm thinking if I should continue growing this brand, although I'm starting to think about a separate business plan. So like I said, my life is very messy. I don't know what string to pull, but it's like a pot of different ingredients. We'll find out. Maybe in a few months we'll talk again and I'll tell you which string did I pull.
I think these things are all a bit of a work in progress, and until you test the waters with it, you never really know if it's something that is going to be fruitful, if it's something you're going to enjoy, whether it's something that's going to really energize you. So I guess, yeah, all you can do is just try a whole bunch of different things and see what sticks sometimes.
And I'm also missing the corporate world already, but I'm trying to, again, tell my brain, are you missing it because it's your habit? Like, just really take the time and quiet that voice that always goes to our comfort.
Well, thank you so much, Gisella, for telling us more about your former life as an HR professional in the corporate world, your international moves, and also your return to Barcelona. I wish you the very best of luck with creative career thinking and figuring out the next steps in your career, and also, of course, getting better and taking care of your health along the way. So thank you so much for sharing your thoughts today, and hope to cross paths with you again soon.
Thank you again. I hope so. It's been a pleasure.
So I hope you enjoyed hearing Gisella's perspectives on the complexities of living and working in different places, the daunting nature of putting yourself out there before you're ready, and the internal thoughts you've got to manage during uncertain transitions. Now it's time to wrap up with today's Mental Fuel, where I'm going to talk about the unsettling nature of having a bit of downtime in your career. Before we get to today's Mental Fuel, I wanted to thank Wise for supporting this episode of the Career Relaunch podcast. Wise is the world's most international bank account. It lets you hold and convert multiple currencies in one place, offering a smarter, easier way to move money internationally without the typical bank fees or foreign exchange commissions. I've used it for years myself to handle many of my own international transactions. Try Wise for free at careerrelaunch.net/wise. This is the part of the show called Mental Fuel, where I finish the show with a brief personal story related to one of the topics we covered today and wrap up with a simple challenge to help you move forward with your own career goals. So for today's Mental Fuel, I want to touch on something Gisella mentioned about how it's easier to talk about yourself when you're gainfully employed rather than when you're going through a transition or taking a break from work. This is something that's come up before on this show, and it's something I hear from a lot of people, certainly something I've felt myself. And I wanted to share my perspectives on the pressure we put on ourselves to feel like we need to be productive all the time in our careers. Now, whether you're climbing the corporate ladder or self-employed and trying to build a strong business, the default mode in our careers these days seems to be about pushing yourself to get promoted, to exceed all your KPIs, to expand your team, to look after a bigger budget, to work for a bigger brand, or to rapidly scale your business. It's all about more achievement, more growth, and more impact. I've experienced this myself throughout my career. Many years ago, when I was in business school, I was fortunate enough to have a full-time job lined up afterwards, and one of the first decisions I had to make after I graduated was my start date. Fresh after finishing my MBA, my initial instinct was to start right away, as soon as possible, to hit the ground running and to not waste any time. But one of my mentors at the time, who actually worked at that same company, encouraged me to push out my start date as late as possible and to just take a bit of a break to travel and do whatever I felt like doing before hitting the daily work grind. I'll never forget him saying that this might be one of the last real breaks I would ever have before diving into the corporate world, which I found kind of hard to believe at the time, but turned out to be true. I did end up taking a couple months off to travel and reconnect with some friends and family, which were some of the most carefree moments of my adult life, to be honest. Then the moment I eventually started in that corporate role, everything seemed to center around getting promoted, then to get promoted again, and to manage bigger projects and bigger budgets and bigger teams. And right now, as a business owner, even though things feel like they're going really well for me professionally, I still feel this weird internal and sometimes external pressure to keep pushing my business to the next level, to scale exponentially, to outsource tasks, and to grow my team so I can further grow my business, to attain a massive following, to monetize everything, to raise my fees, to secure more work, to write a book, to have a greater impact, to change the world. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why the default state in my career is to push myself, to not allow myself to have an idle moment. For example, right now, I'm a bit less busy than I am during the last quarter of the year when I host most of my workshops and talks. I actually don't mind that my work and income is highly concentrated during a specific time of the year because it allows me to have more breathing room throughout the rest of the year, which is one of the main motivations for me even being self-employed, so I can have more control of my schedule. But just the other day, I bumped into someone on the street, a fellow parent, after I dropped my daughter off at school in the morning. And I was dressed pretty casually that day. He asked me how work was going, and I said things were a bit slower on my business during this part of the year, because they are, but I meant it in a good way, because it meant I can take a bit of a break and recharge a bit before my intense fall speaking schedule hits again. But this guy immediately looked at me and asked me if everything was okay with my business in a way that suggested that maybe I was struggling to find enough work. And this just reminded me that professional downtime and slower work schedules actually have a negative connotation in everyday conversation. I was just telling my wife the other day that my work schedule right now isn't so busy, so I have a bit more time to chill out, to exercise, to focus on my photography hobby. But I kind of feel guilty about it. Like, I should be doing all the work that I've been meaning to do, but just haven't had the time to do, instead of just fully embracing this very rare bit of downtime in my life and my career, what feels like the first real break I've had in years. I feel like, especially during career transitions, we all put a lot of pressure on ourselves to figure things out quickly. Now, part of this is driven by external forces. Maybe you don't have the financial luxury of taking a break in your career, which is the case for many. Being able to have an extended transition without adversely affecting your life financially or practically is absolutely a privilege not everyone can afford. Or you may work in an industry where gaps in your CV aren't looked upon very favorably, which is the case in many industries, and this affects your long-term career progression. Or maybe you're in a really fast-moving sector where being out of the workforce for too long can result in your skills becoming obsolete. Or you may just realize that the longer you're out of the workforce, the harder it's going to be for you to re-enter. I understand all of these pressures. I have experienced them myself, so I'm not saying these things don't matter. However, I also know a lot of this pressure can be internal, where you, if you're like me, may have this sort of unrelenting tendency to have your foot on the gas pedal at all times because forward progress is where you feel most comfortable, the least guilty, and the most productive. It can feel very unsettling to not know what you want to do next in your career. And time never stops ticking away. I just wanted to say that if you do have the means to have some downtime and you don't feel it's hugely problematic, if you don't start immediately charging forward again right away in your career, I'd suggest you try to bring yourself to not only tolerate, but to accept and even embrace your career transition, allowing yourself some time to breathe, to slow down, to tinker and explore a bit, and take stock of what you want to do before you rush into your next role may enable your transition to be a much more meaningful one. This takes me to a quote from the New York Times bestselling author, Michael Hyatt. Slowing down is not a waste of time. In fact, it's an investment in self-care, productivity, and creativity. So my challenge to you, if you're in some sort of a transition, is to do something right now that you couldn't normally do when you're much busier professionally. It doesn't necessarily have to relate to figuring out your next move or finding out the answers to some career quandary. Instead, to just give yourself permission to slow down, even if it's just for a day, and allow yourself to have a bit of a metaphorical palate cleanser. You might be surprised what it can do for you. If you have a question about career change you want me to address on the show, or if you've got a story of career change from your own life you would like to share, I'd love for you to leave me a voicemail with your thoughts at careerrelaunch.net/101, where you can also find a summary of my discussion with Gisella and learn more about her. Again, that's careerrelaunch.net/101. Thanks so much for being part of the Career Relaunch community, and a very special thanks again to Gisella Prunes Garcia for sharing her story with us today from Barcelona. This episode was mixed by Liam McKenzie. Today's music was curated by Jonathan Rinaldi Pohl, and the Career Relaunch theme song was written and performed by Electrocardiogram. I'm Joseph Liu, and I'll talk to you next time.